Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a deeper look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the country. Today On Deadline is talking about drugs. From legal to illegal, today we're going to break down what you need to know heading into the next year when it comes to pharmaceuticals. To start off, we'll stay on the right side of the law as we look at recent action taken by President Joe Biden to make it more affordable for Americans to get their Ozempic and other prescription weight loss drugs. Last month, Biden announced that Medicare and Medicaid will be required to offer coverage of weight loss medications for those who are seeking treatment for obesity. We've already mentioned Ozempic, but this list also includes Novo Nordisk's medication Wegovy, Mounjaro and Zepbound, both produced by the pharmaceutical giant Eli Lilly, are also expected to be covered. Before the action from Biden, states were free to decide if they wanted obesity drugs covered by Medicaid, and federally, Medicare wasn't allowed to pay for the drugs, unless they were being used to treat diabetes or to manage increased risks of heart disease. The change is now set to dramatically reduce out-of-pocket costs for the drugs, which can cost those who use them $1,000 or more a month. Critics of the move from Biden have said it's going to cost Medicare and Medicaid more money at a time when the programs are already struggling. To give more perspective on the move, Mark Pauly, a healthcare management professor at the University of Pennsylvania, joined Odyssey.
So I guess the question most of us have is, why is President Biden announcing this at this point?
Well, of course, that's a political question, but the economic question is, or the issue is, that these drugs seem very effective in terms of not only reducing weight, but also cutting death rates and rates of complication by as much as 20%. So these are good drugs, and heretofore, you were only eligible for them when you're on Medicare if you had diabetes, but the proposal is to extend the coverage for just obesity as your main diagnosis.
As a cost analysis, then, why would it be beneficial? How would it be beneficial?
Well, it would be beneficial from the point of view of health, most of all, most importantly, that people, not, in addition to looking better and feeling better, they live longer and live better and have higher quality of life. The cost is still kind of up in the air, what the net cost will be. The upfront cost is going to be not a sky is falling level of cost, but fairly substantial. But there's also expected to be a substantial what's called cost offset. As people lose weight, they have fewer of the complications that go along with being obese, like joint problems and heart problems. And so some of that money will come back in the future in terms of lower medical costs for Medicare and for the country as a whole.
I agree with what you said. My first question was a political one, but it just seems so sort of unsure to propose this at the end of one guy's term when another guy's taking over.
Yeah. Well, I'm only an amateur about politics, but then so is everybody else these days. But my guess is they wanted to get out in front of making this definition of obesity as a previously obesity was not a covered diagnosis under Medicare. And the proposal is to make it a covered diagnosis. And they wanted to get out in front of what Robert Kennedy Jr. may say about his plans for what Medicare should do and what Medicare should pay for. So he has advocated as an alternative to weight loss drugs, something I'm not quite sure I understand at all, but something he calls good food, which, of course, we know if people ate good food in moderate amounts, they'd also lose weight. But that I think they wanted, at least my amateur interpretation is they wanted to make sure that there would at least be a marker in Medicare for the use of these drugs. And, of course, a rationale for that is that although many of us, including myself, would like to lose a few pounds, it's not always easy to, even if you can afford good food, it's often helpful to have something like these GLP-1 medications that seem amazingly effective in terms of helping people reduce weight and keep it off.
You have to be on these drugs sort of indefinitely, and I guess the question is, how long would...
That's somewhat up in the air right now. I'm retired now, so I get all my medical information from CNN. But apparently there are plans where you go on them, you lose the weight. And then if you can change your way of eating and exercise and all the things that your mother always told you you should do, you can keep the weight off without necessarily continuing to take the drugs. So that's the hope. And the other thing I think worth noting is that there's already two major companies, Lilly and Novo Nordisk, selling these drugs. And for that matter, this preparation, GLP-1, is part of other drugs that are around or can be made available from other sources. So it may well be that the $1,000 a month list price will not stand if this really gets covered and there's a competition between different drug companies to be the one that provides you with the weight loss plan.
Now we turn to illegal drugs that are making headlines. After 3 years of drastic increases in opioid overdoses, the American Journal of Medical Care shared last month that opioid overdose deaths decreased for 12 months, with 70,655 predicted deaths through June 2024, down from more than 86,000 in June 2023. While the number is an improvement from years past, opioids continue to be a leading cause of overdose deaths in the United States. According to the National Institute of Health, nearly 70% of overdose deaths in 2022 involved fentanyl. It's a drug so potent that just a fingernail's worth could kill someone. And since it's cheap to produce, drug cartels often add it to heroin, cocaine, and other street drugs to keep their margins high. When it comes to pharmaceuticals, numerous studies have shown that when people illegally buy opioids on the street, fentanyl has often been added to them. Bridget Freisteller, the lead author of the Healing Community Study and a professor at The Ohio State University and the University of Tennessee, recently joined Odyssey to share how we can fight back against the opioid crisis.
New findings from the Healing Community Study, or Helping to End Addiction Long Term, indicates a 37% drop in opioid overdose deaths. Researchers with the federal study are crediting expanded treatment options, increased Narcan distribution, and education campaigns as a key to the trend. So can you briefly describe the study and your findings?
Sure. The study was a data-driven, community-engaged process where we worked with local coalitions to implement three different EVPs known to reduce opioid overdose deaths. That was naloxone, distribution and education, medication for opioid use disorders, and safer prescribing. And then we also conducted a communications campaign that was designed to reduce stigma and to increase use of those evidence-based practices. It occurred in 67 communities across 4 states with the goal of reducing opioid overdose deaths. In this particular study, we were looking at polysubstance use combinations, so that 37% reduction was a reduction in drug combinations that had opioids in them and also psychostimulant other than cocaine, and generally that is methamphetamines.
Let's talk about that combination and 37% drop. That is certainly impressive, although it still remains a big problem. Can you talk about the combination and what makes that so especially dangerous?
Absolutely. One of the things that we have to think about is that what people think they're getting when they're getting from their supply of drugs. So people often are thinking when they're getting meth is just, okay, I'm getting meth. But what's happening is that we're seeing fentanyl that is cut into all of these different types of drugs. And so if you're a person and you're not used to using opioids, then your risk for opioid overdose is much higher. And you likely don't have things like naloxone on hand to reduce an overdose if it happens. So that's part of the concern. The other concern is that they have different effects. So one acts as a stimulant, one acts as a depressant. So how those interact can be different as well. And then finally, fentanyl is incredibly, incredibly potent. So if you don't know that your drug has even just a small amount in fentanyl, it can be deadly just that first time you have that combination.
Talk about the education component, especially where it comes to recognizing what an opioid overdose looks like.
Absolutely. So one of the things that you're looking for is whether or not a person who has been using drugs, if they've lost consciousness, they have a limp body, they have cold or clammy skin, and whether or not the breathing can be slow, weak, and sometimes no breathing happening at all. And so, like I mentioned, we have naloxone that can be used. It's now available over the counter to reduce the drug opioid overdose. It's still good to call 911 or have someone get involved, get to a hospital, because even though you can revive someone, the effects of that opioid overdose could be a little longer, and so they might slip back into these overdose behaviors. Some other things to do is to use drugs safely. If you're going to continue to use some harm reduction sorts of things, that you can make sure that you use with another person present. And we also have fentanyl test strips that will let you test any type of drug to see if there's fentanyl present in your current drug supply.
Fentanyl has become its own crisis in the United States. And as a means to fight against this drug, the incoming Trump administration has promised to tariff its two closest neighboring countries unless they solve the problem of it flooding America's streets. President-elect Donald Trump has said if Canada and Mexico can't stop both illegal migrants and illegal drugs from entering the country, they could see 25% tariffs placed on their imported goods. And that would happen on the very first day his second term begins. Harley Shaken, a professor emeritus at the Center for Latin American Studies at UC Berkeley, joined Odyssey to discuss what might happen with the tariffs and the flow of drugs into the country.
If we're starting a little prickly situation here with our biggest trade partners, Mexico, how are we going to avoid this?
Well, that's exactly the issue right now. We may yet avoid it. Both sides have a huge interest in avoiding it. President Trump or President-elect Trump is both very serious about tariffs, but also uses tariffs as a shock and awe measure. In other words, threatening tariffs to get what he wants. He spoke with Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum yesterday. She sent him an email saying it was an excellent conversation. He then said that she was very pleased and he was very pleased and that she is committed to stop undocumented immigration. And he thinks that they'll also be able to work well on drugs. The reality is significantly different What Claudia Sheinbaum said is that the Mexican government would intervene with convoys of thousands of people that come north, very often immigrants coming from Central America or South America, will travel through Mexico in convoys for their personal securities. The Mexican government has committed to turn those back, but that doesn't mean that everything will be halted at the border. And on drugs, there's a huge issue with the demanding in the United States. And Mexico, while wants to resolve this, has also said if we can't, we will charge a 25% tariff on all American goods entering the country.
Well, it definitely doesn't sound like we're at a stalemate here already before Trump is getting into office. I mean, is this just a repeat of the first time he was in, or are we actually going to see some progress? I mean, we don't need Mexico charging 25% on our products, especially we're already doing the same thing with Canada. So we're making a little bit less friendlier terms with our neighbors. What can we do differently?
I suspect this is going to be resolvable. When he becomes president, President Trump will say this is a major victory. We're going to move on. I don't think it will go beyond that. And I'll give you an example of the way he has recently used tariffs. He threatened a 25% tariff on automobiles, and Stellantis, one of the largest automakers in the U.S., formerly Chrysler, had planned to take their most profitable and best-selling vehicle, the Dodge Ram truck, and transfer significant production to Mexican plants. Because of Trump's threat of tariffs, whether they're real or not, Stellantis doesn't want to invest or lose billions. If he does act on it, they canceled that transfer of production. So you have that kind of thing going on. Both sides have a huge issue or have a huge interest in avoiding tariffs at this point.
Trump has already tapped several immigration hardliners to solve what he has called a crisis at the border, including the man he's named border czar, Tom Homan. According to Homan, Mexican cartels have killed a quarter of a million Americans with fentanyl. Homan is expected to take a serious stance on stopping illegal means of immigration, and he's expected to attempt to prevent the flow of narcotics into the U.S. When it comes to legal drugs, Trump is expected to hand over the reins to Medicare and Medicaid to Dr. Mehmet Oz. You might know Oz from his TV show or his appearances on The Oprah Show, as well as a run for office in Pennsylvania. Oz has yet to make it known what he might do with Medicare and Medicaid, though he has said that if he's confirmed, he'll stop promoting health and wellness products. Both Oz and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. are known as men with lots of opinions on health and wellness. Both are also expected to slash regulations as they strive to, quote, make America healthy again. What that means for the tricky intersection of your prescriptions and cartels and immigration and overdose deaths over the next 4 years is unknown. But as U.S. News and World Report said in a recent story, tackling our health crisis requires addressing root causes, the foods we eat, the environments we live in, and the systems that perpetuate inequities. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strauser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.